Amen. Would you give our worship team a round of applause? What a beautiful way to start chapel. Criswell College, welcome to chapel. We are blessed to start yet another semester here at the college, and we're excited for what the Lord has ahead of us. Real quick, before I introduce real briefly our speaker, this Thursday we have a chapel, church fair. If especially new students, you're looking for a ministry to be a part of, you don't want to miss it here at 11 a.m. this Thursday. But with no further ado, we're excited that you're here, and we're more excited to hear from our very own president, Dr. Barry Creamer. For those of you who are new, Dr. Creamer has served as president since 2014. He holds degrees from Baylor University and Criswell College and the University, and a PhD from the University of Texas at Arlington. We are blessed to have Dr. Creamer as our president. You will enjoy getting to know him. He always welcomes students to his office. Dr. Creamer, thank you for being here. Please welcome him.
Okay, I am honored to be able to open up the semester with you. Really grateful you came and participated in chapel today. For those of you who've been around for a few years, you know I'm going through the book of Psalms. I have arrived today. Yeah, hold off for a second. I have arrived today at Psalm 119. This is not a joke. We are at Psalm 119. For those of you who know the Bible, you are nervous now about when we're having lunch during this process, but it will come after chapel. As it turns out, I've had a lot of people ask me the question, you know, you're doing Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Why don't you just do one piece of it? But the truth is, there are a couple of answers I need to give to this. Number one, it's in the scriptures as a chapter. It's a unit, and it is in the Hebrew hymnal, so to speak, as a single unit. And there is a message to be conveyed by reading this chapter. Not coincidentally, by the way, which is a chapter in the middle of God's word, his book that he's given to us, that has... It is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is entirely about the value of Scripture itself. And we happen to be a school that is built around the value and authority and truth of Scripture. That's everything we're in our mission statement. We are committed to maintaining an institutional commitment to biblical inerrancy. We believe in the authority of Scripture. So for that reason, I want to read this with you today. But for one other reason, I want to do it, and that is... If you wonder why I just keep going, plodding through a book that's 150 chapters long, part of it is I don't have a death wish. I'm not trying to get into a book that I can't possibly finish until I die. That's not the goal. The goal is to preach the whole counsel of God, to communicate the whole counsel of God. And I just know that even though there are things I know about the congregations that I preach to, the students that I get to preach to, even though there are things I know about you, the things I want to address in your life have to be tempered or shaped or entirely overwhelmed by the things God wants to speak into your life. And I can't know for sure I'm following his will in that unless I'm willing to submit to the whole of Scripture. And so for me, it has become a priority over my entire ministry to commit to going through books, one chapter, one verse at a time, and just covering whatever topic is there. Now, if I did that just by picking my favorite subject within that text, wouldn't do any better than just randomly picking passages. But staying in the text should actually take us somewhere, and so that's what we're going to do today. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, how can you possibly do this and let us out in time to have lunch? First of all, I'm already hungry. I ate breakfast at 5, so I'm more concerned about it than you are. But secondly, 176 verses takes about 17 minutes to read. So we're not in trouble unless I yammer on. And, oh, yeah, so you see, you think we're in trouble because I'm likely to yammer on. Actually, I have a very simple question to ask about each section of this psalm. And as it turns out, you know this psalm. If you don't know this, you'll know it now. This psalm is organized as an acrostic around the Hebrew alphabet. And so there are 8 verses at a time that all begin with the same Hebrew letter, starting at the beginning. If we were doing it in English, it would be A, and then B, and then C, and then D. We're doing it in Hebrew, so it's Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, and so on. So all the way through the alphabet, 22 letters, because Sin and Shin are combined in the Hebrew alphabet in Psalm 119. So it's 22 letters, 8 verses each. And so each of those, as I've observed it, each of those sections are actually paired together. So Aleph and Beit go together. This is how I understand it best I can right now. Aleph and Beit go together, and then Gimel and Dalet, and so on, all the way through the alphabet. So we're going to do it in pairs, 16 verses. I, as I have studied this psalm over the last couple of weeks, have realized that there is a specific question that seems to be addressed in each of these thematic elements within the psalm, so by those 16 verses. So I'm just going to ask the question, and then our faculty and one other volunteer, and maybe a few other volunteers, I'm hoping we got a few other volunteers, we'll see, but our faculty are going to read through the psalm for us, so one section at a time. So if the faculty who have a section to read, or the volunteers who are going to read for us, if y'all would come and stand down here on the floor, all of us, and we're going to see how well y'all do at queuing up for an airline flight. Number one, we'll start here, right? So verse one starts here, and then all the verses after that, Aleph, Beit, Gimel. If y'all will go this way, then we can just, yeah, so Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Yod, right? So I don't know, whatever. All right. I can do the rest, but I don't want to think through it right now. Everybody got, they're also numbered, so you can just use the numbers if you, okay. So we did ask, so some of the faculty are going to be reading all 16 verses. Some have a student or a friend who's going to read half of the section with them. So Aleph will be read by Dr. Kieser, and then Beit by the next student. Or are you doing both? Are you doing Aleph and Beit? Okay. Would you make sure the mic's on also, that we're good to go with that? While he's checking that.
Mic check.
While he's checking that, I'll just make one more point because I want you to think about something. There are sometimes a couple of verses that are picked out by people where they say, because the notable thing about this chapter is not only that it's an acrostic, but every single verse has a direct reference to the scriptures in one way or another. It's referred to in a lot of different ways with a lot of different terms, Torah, you know, the law or the commandments or the judgments or the testimonies or whatever, promises, so on. It's all these different words, but every word is used repeatedly. All of the words add up to being used 191 times in these 176 verses, all of these words for scripture. And there are two verses, I'm going to tell you one of them, referred to. I feel like I'm coming in and out, but I'm not changing anything. So verse 88 is referred to this way, but it's not. It has the word mishpat in it, which is judgments. So his judgments are present in that verse. There's one other verse that people often say, well, it doesn't have a word for scripture in it. I wonder why that is. And I think it's an important verse, partially for that reason, partially because even though it does have a word I think stands in for scripture, that word's only used one time in this psalm. And so that verse does stand out in some ways. And so I'll ask you just to pay enough attention while everyone is reading. 176 verses is a lot of verses. But while everyone's reading, if you'll pay enough attention to just notice, where is it that there is a verse that looks like maybe it doesn't have any direct reference to scripture in it? And then we're going to talk about that for just 1 minute at the end and draw one simple conclusion, and then we will close with faculty prayer with the students for convocation. And in this, I want you to hear the opportunity for us, like all of God's people throughout history who have been a people of the book, that's who we are as God's people, throughout all of history, I just want you to be asking yourself, answering for yourself, the question that I ask with each of these sections. So as, like before Dr. Kieser comes to read, I'm going to ask the question that I think goes with Aleph and Beit. And then you will hear that question and think through what those 16 verses are saying to you is the answer to that question. What is the answer to that question according to those 16 verses? It's an obvious answer. It's 176 verses that say the same thing. So, and let me emphasize it this way to you. For the things that people get and they know, we say it one time and we move on. God looked at us and said, I'm going to need 176 verses on this one just to get them to. So I really do want you to get the gravity of the importance that this psalm indicates God is communicating to you about his word in your life. So here's Psalm 119. First question, Dr. Kieser, you'll be reading, right, Aleph? Okay, so the first question, and then they're just going to start reading. You don't even have to read the letter. Just read your 8 verses and then move on, or 16. How do we become keepers of God's will? How do we become keepers of God's will?
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
Thank you. Same question.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Second question. Now, as Dr. Brown begins, why do we need help and where do we find it?
Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed.
Vicki, stand on up into the mic and that'll help solve the problem.
My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors.
Amen. Go ahead. Same question. Why do we need help? Where do we find it?
My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart.
Thank you. The next question and next section, toward what do we live? That is, in what do we hope?
Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statute, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandment, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimony and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
Amen. Thank you. Same question. Toward what do we live? Where do we find hope?
Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
Thank you. And then, where is our refuge and our comfort?
Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from the old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts.
Amen.
The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes.
Amen. The next question, what teaches us that God wills good for us, that his will for us is always good?
You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Same question. How do we know God's will for us is good?
Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame.
Amen. Thank you. The next question, in his absence, where do we find his presence?
My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Mm-hmm. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I've become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Your steadfast love gives me life, mm-hmm. that I may keep thy testimonies of your mouth.
Amen. Same question. In his absence, where do we find his presence?
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad.
And then where do we find a path better than all the paths we can find here?
Oh, how I love your law. It is the meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
Same question. Better path than we could find here.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, and for they are the joy of my heart. And I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end.
Amen. Next question, where do we find justice, righteousness, in an unjust or unrighteous world?
I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments.
Same question now. Where do we find justice in an unjust world?
I have done what is right and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding, that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way.
Amen. Next question. Where is the light even while it is still dark?
Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law.
Amen. Thank you.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
Amen. Next question. In what is the sincerity of our prayers revealed?
With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I will call to you. Save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statute. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
The last question I'll ask, where is God's faithfulness and ours revealed fully right now?
Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
Thank you to all of the readers. I appreciate it very much. Also, I appreciate getting to hear your voices, some great voices reading today. I really appreciate that. It's a beautiful psalm, and it is emphatic about the value of the word. I don't know if you picked out the verse that is most distinct as not having a direct reference to scripture. I'll just say what it is, and then you can verify on your own whether you found that or not. But it's verse 122 in Ion, the section Ion. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. The reason I point out that verse is even the word pledge, arov, I think is the reference to scripture there. But even if I'm right, and it is, it's only used in that one verse. And every other word that's used for scripture in this psalm is used over and over and over again. Most of them 23, 24, 25 times. A few of them 10 or 12 times. And just one or two are used 4 or 8 times, something like that. There's no other word that's only used once in this text, in this chapter, to refer to scripture. And it's an important statement. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. In a world where we're constantly talking about how important it is that we know that God is present everywhere, we still can't see him. I mean, you say, oh, I see him. We are the hands and feet. That's true. And he always gives us three methods for knowing him, for following him, for being faithful to him, for encountering his will, for being corrected. First of all, just the Holy Spirit living inside of us, obviously, and I don't have any doubts about the Holy Spirit whatsoever or the power of the Spirit to make us pure and holy and to direct us according to his steps. And when people come to me and say, the Holy Spirit has told me this or that, my inclination is to say to them, oh, I trust the Holy Spirit completely. You? Not so much. So I don't doubt what the Holy Spirit said. I may need to, and I find the same thing with me, that I love following the Spirit and praying and seeking the Spirit's leadership in the things that I'm doing in life. And I think sometimes there's just no way to avoid that. I mean, thank heavens, God breaks through even to knuckleheads like me and just tells us what he wants us to do. When I was 16 years old, I was called to preach, and I yielded my life to that. And when I get to heaven, God may say, you know, really, that was just pizza, you know. But there's no harm in the fact that I committed my life to him because of it. But in truth, I don't think that at all. I think the Holy Spirit just put me under conviction until I finally yielded to what God wanted me to do. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I have no doubt about the Holy Spirit. He is just as invisible as everything you say about God being in the heavens right now. That doesn't make him less valuable. That may be the most valuable thing about the work he does in our lives. We can talk about that another time. He gives us other believers who are very visible. We see their hands and their feet. We interact with them. You're rubbing shoulders and bumping elbows with them today. And God's people are of incredible value in keeping us centered in how we express God's love in the world and then correcting us when we do things wrong. The whole idea of church discipline, but beyond that, just the corrective measures that come in every conversation we have with other believers are beautiful, and yet no other believers are perfect. And even the full body together is an imperfect expression of Christ's perfect will in this world. Powerful, important, central to our lives. We can't live our Christian lives without other believers. But there is one place where we, no matter how dire the circumstance, no matter how discouraged we are in the moment, no matter how far afield we've gone in our thinking, where we come and in real forms that are visible to us and irresistible in their objectivity, tell us not just something, but what God has said to all of his people throughout all of time. And yeah, I can figure out ways to interpret it and manipulate it to be whatever I want it to be, but then anyone or my own conscience or the Spirit, meaning the other two tools God has given us for living in this world, can still point at the words and say, but you know, it says, thou shalt not murder. And so you still shouldn't be murdering, you know? There's an objective content in Scripture that's of incredible value. I'm not saying that for apologetics reasons. I'm not saying that so you can finally have some firm footing for the arguments that you have to prove that you're right and everybody else's doctrine is. I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm saying it to you for the reason that those of you who know Christ have encountered over and over in your life, or you wouldn't be here, which is that in those moments when you can't find anywhere else to turn and when for the life of you, you cannot hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you on the inside and groaning for you in ways that you might not be able to utter, even in those moments, that you can get on your knees in the same way you would crawl before God on your knees. You can get on your knees and open an actual book and begin to read it and hear what you might have just said to someone you could not possibly hear. I can't hear God anymore. I'm having a hard time. I'm not finding him. I'm not seeing him. He gives us a book where he is constantly speaking and simply saying, just open it and listen. Just open it and listen. And it has the entire counsel of God in it. In that, I would encourage you to approach this semester at a school built around believing that every word of Scripture is true and it comes from God. To come to this semester on your knees, remembering every single day to listen to what God has already begun to say to you in this book. Open it up and read it as God speaking to you. That's my encouragement to you as we begin the semester. Now, I'm going to pray with you, but then I'm going to ask the faculty to stand, and they're going to pray with you explicitly to invite God's leadership in your life throughout this semester and for us to be faithful in our expression of love to one another, yielding to the Holy Spirit's guidance, but also valuing the word that we're going to do so much analyzing and studying and parsing. But also let's respect it and trust it and find hope in it and encouragement and strength. Father, that's what I pray, that we would find all of those things you give us uniquely and powerfully in your word every day because you have provided it for us in exactly that way. And may our obedience to this word be the expression of what you said it would demonstrate, that we love you and therefore we keep your commandments.